And tonight we're going to be talking about a life that flows from worship. Good. A life that flows from worship. Yeah. What sets us apart from the world? How are we different from our neighbors, from the people who live around us, from the people that we work with, from the people in our community that don't know God? What distinguishes us from them? Is there anything about you? Is there anything about the way that you live? Anything about the way you carry yourself where somebody could see there's something different about this person? Good. You know, sometimes it's hard to live that way. Life could come at us really heavy sometimes. You know, Pastor Brenda gave an amazing message on Sunday. If you weren't here for it, you should take a listen. But she called it full time. Being a full-time Christian, but living full all the time, right? Not living on empty. And she talked about how when you're driving your car, it'll tell you when you're getting close to empty or when your battery's about to run out, right? Hey, you're getting close. You better stop and fill up. But in life, we don't have a gauge on us that maybe on our wrist or something that's telling you, hey, you're getting spiritually depleted. You need to stop. You need to fill up. You need to spend some time with the Lord. But actually, if you focus on the inside for a minute and you recognize some of the tall-tale signs, you'll recognize I might be running on empty right now, right? I'm kind of short-tempered. Everybody's getting on my nerves. I'm really having a hard time getting out of bed. We could be weighed down. Pastor Brenda talked about Mark chapter 4, where Jesus gives the parable of the sower sows the word. And she talked about in verse 19, it says that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things grow up like weeds to choke the word. Yeah. They grow up around us. And that's what can happen to us sometimes. And when these weeds begin to grow up around us, you know what it does? It keeps us from bearing fruit. Right? Yeah. And the fruit is what distinguishes you. You tell a tree by its fruit, right, exactly. If you're trying to figure out what kind of tree that is, take a look. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between limes and lemons, though. Is that right, babe? There is so much of a backstory behind that. It was funny. It's funny now. It was ridiculous in the moment. Yes, but you could tell a tree by its fruit. But when we have these things growing up in our lives, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust for other things, it chokes the word and it keeps us from bearing fruit. Right. You know, Jesus in John chapter 15, he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And he said, it's to the Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Not to just bear a little bit, but to bear much fruit. Actually, God wants fruit from your life so much that even if you are bearing fruit, you know what he'll do? He'll come in and he'll prune you so you'll bear even more fruit, right? God wants to see this in our lives, and really, the world needs the fruit that we can produce from the Word of God. The world needs what we have, and we should be distinguished. So how do we live that life that does bear fruit? When we're living in this place where we're not living in a place of worship, we begin to have heart issues. I'm not talking about necessarily your physical heart. But when we're living far away, when we're going through the routine of life, maybe we're going to church on Sundays. So glad you all are here on a Wednesday night, and those of you online. But maybe we're just going through the routine, and then you start to see these things rise up in your heart that could tell you, hey, I'm running close to empty. When your mind is full of lust, when your heart is full of greed, when you have envy of those around you, when you're feeling rage and anger inside of you, when you're living with shame covering you. When depression is weighing on you and you don't see why it's worth it. Yeah, that's good. When you're overcome by fears and anxieties, when you look towards the future. You see, when you're full of God and you look towards the future, you have a hope. You have that joyful, confident expectation of the goodness of God out in front of you. Amen. When you're living full of God, you're satisfied. But when we're running close to E, we could start smelling just like the world does and start having these attitudes happen in our heart. And so if you recognize some of these things inside of you, know, hey, I need to check my gauge. I need to go ahead and spend some time with the Lord. And you know what really helps? When you spend time in the Word and in worship. You know, you could be in the Word of a lot, and I mean, this Word will speak to you and it'll give you truth. But if you're not spending that time in the presence of God in worship, then sometimes you could tend to dry up, where it's just, you could become a little bit rigid, and you could find yourself being harsh with yourself and being harsh with the people around you. We were created to worship. Amen. We were designed for it. God has, in Ecclesiastes, it says that God has placed eternity in the hearts of men.
Yeah.
And so from what he's placed inside of you, there is a desire for something eternal. Yeah. There is a desire that will never be satisfied by something that is finite, by something that is temporary. People who try to be satisfied by something temporary keep going back to it over and over again, and they find themselves in bad cycles because they had pleasure for a moment, but in the end it leaves them unsatisfied. So people will turn to relationships, they'll turn to substances, they'll turn to many different things to try to satisfy what's inside of them, and they'll think, well, maybe it wasn't that relationship, maybe it's the next one. Maybe it wasn't enough of this substance, so I think I'll just take a little bit more. But the only one that will satisfy the craving, the eternal craving that you have inside of you, is the God Almighty who created us. Is the eternal God who never had a beginning. He will never have an end. He exists forever. And I hope when you see Jesus, you don't just see a good man or a great teacher or a prophet. I hope when you see Jesus, you see the eternal God who loved us so much that he came down. He put on creation. Though he was never created, he put it on for us so he could experience life like us. The Bible says that Jesus was perfected through what he suffered, which is really interesting. But how was he made perfect? He became a perfect high priest. So he was touched with all the infirmities like we are. God has no weaknesses or infirmities. But when he took on flesh, he allowed himself to experience it. So he could be a good and faithful high priest on our behalf, who can relate to us in our struggle with all the weight of the world. In Isaiah 53, it talks about how he was a man familiar with sorrows and a person from whom people hide their face. He experienced rejection while he lived on the earth. He experienced rejection from the Father when he hung on the cross, so that we can experience acceptance into the family of God. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you for a moment about a gentleman who wrote one of the Psalms. Did you guys know David didn't write all the Psalms? David wrote a lot of the Psalms, but he did not write all of them. There's a guy in the Psalms, his name is Asaph, and he wrote Psalm 73. Now, I remember coming across this when I was a teenager, and it was just the right time for me to come across it. So Asaph in Psalm 73, actually, go ahead and just start off in verse 1 up there. Check out what he says. Asaph, Psalm 73, and verse 1.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, is it up? Oh, it wasn't up on that screen. Okay, great. So it says, the Psalm of Asaph, it says, truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. Next verse. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. I almost slipped. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. Why, Asaph? What happened? Next verse. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness.
How about that?
Wow. You know, sometimes you're living this Christian life and you're doing the right thing. You're choosing to honor God. You're living different than your coworkers, maybe different than your spouse. You're trying to do the right thing and not living like your friends that are around you. But then it could seem like they're having all the fun. Where's my fun? You know, it seems like they're prospering. Asaph in this psalm, he begins to talk about they're never sick. They're always strong and healthy. They're always prospering. They mock God and they get away with it. And he says, this was oppressive to me. I looked at it and it seems like in vain I have kept my hands clean. Wow. What is the use? Where's the blessing of God? I feel like I'm struggling, and the people that are living in sin look like they're just enjoying life. Right. And I remember reading this psalm as a teenager, and I'm like, yeah, exactly. It wasn't just my friends, it was my siblings at the time too. And I'm like, they're coming home with all these crazy stories, and I don't have them. And I was like, you know what? I actually thought this for a moment. I said, you know what? Maybe I'll just go into the world for a little bit, and then I'll come out and I'll have a cool testimony. Okay? I'm just going to come out of it and be like, yeah, God brought me out of this stuff that I got myself into. No, that'd be ridiculous. And so I came across this and I was like, that's right, Asa. I can relate to you. I feel like in vain, I've kept my hands clean. I'm missing out on so much life. I feel lonely. I feel like everybody else is living life and my life is boring and dull, humdrum. And we can feel like that sometimes. But then we get to verse 17. You see, Asaph was a worship leader. And it says this, that it was all oppressive to him. It says, but then I went into your sanctuary, O God. What's he going in there to do? He's a worship leader. I think it's safe to say he's going in there to worship God.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. And then I went into your sanctuary, O God. And finally, I understood the destiny of the wicked. But I want to pause at, and finally, I understood. There's something about getting into the presence of God where the things of this world become strangely dim.
Yeah.
When you take that moment to get into God's presence, when you're dealing with all the funk of life, with all the stinkiness this world has to offer and all the junk going on in your own heart where you're not satisfied and you're frustrated, everybody's doing good, but you're not. And you just get into the presence of God and you begin to worship Him. And you begin to thank Him. And you begin to exalt Him. And you recognize, God, You're the creator of all things. Lord, I don't feel like worshiping You right now, but You are always worthy of my worship. So I will bless Your name. I will command my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Lord, I will bless Your name morning, noon, and night. I will praise the name of the Lord God. And you get into this place where, okay, you started off where it feels like you're just walking through mud, but then the presence of God comes. The Bible promises if you draw close to Him, He will draw near to you. And you get there and then you begin to experience His peace. And His love and His grace begins to pour over you and wash on you. And then you have an experience like Asaph had. And then I understood. And then I saw clearly. Hallelujah. God, You are good in the midst of the trial. You're good in the midst of the storm. Thank You, Lord. I'm going to rejoice like James says. I'm going to count it all joy because the testing of my faith is producing patience or perseverance or long suffering so that I could be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Yeah. Thank You, God. You're just working in me.
Yeah.
Thank You, Lord. I'm going to make it through this test. And I'm going to come out on the other side of this trial. I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's something about when we get into the presence of God, we begin to get understanding. A life that flows from a place of worship is a life where you are being filled, like it talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, right? Being filled through worship. And actually, we have that in the NLT. Let's go ahead and put that up there. It says, don't be drunk on wine. Don't be high on substances. Don't try to get your satisfaction or relief from the things of this world. It says, because that will ruin your life. Can anybody relate to that? Have you seen that in your life or the lives of those around you? When they turn to these substances and they get drunk on them, they get high on them, and it just ruins their life. Here's a warning. Paul is saying, don't be drunk on wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how, Paul? How do I do that? Next verse, please. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your heart.
Amen.
Bringing up the fruit of your lips, praises to God. That's the way you're filled. It's interesting because you're letting out praise and He's filling you with His Spirit. You're letting out worship and He begins to fill you with His presence. And this is the way that we're supposed to live. You know, I actually grew up in church. These are my parents on the front row right here. And hello, Mom and Dad. And this is my gorgeous wife here right here. You weren't there when I was growing up in church, though. But, I mean, I was pretty good growing up, but there was a time in there where I was a little stinker for a while. I think it was right around eighth grade year. And we would sit, I can't even believe this, you guys, it's embarrassing. It was not at Heart of the Bay, it was at another church. But we would sit there in our chairs, and we would look up, and I have four siblings, and we would be making fun of the worship team as we're sitting there. All the ways they were singing, their voices, the way they moved. We were just cracking jokes, busting up, laughing during praise and worship. And it was so inappropriate, and it was so wrong. And then whenever somebody was dancing, I'm pointing and I'm laughing. Ha ha ha, I can't believe it. They look so dumb. You see them? Yeah. I did that. I am not proud of that. I'm ashamed of that. But on the inside, you guys, I was miserable. I'm cracking up with my siblings, but I was miserable on the inside. I grew up going to church, and I would get touched by God on some Sundays. Or I would go to a youth camp, and I'd get touched by God, or a children's camp. But then I didn't have the lifestyle in place. So you get filled up, and then guess what? You just drain right out. Yeah. Not living filled. Not living with the lifestyle that comes from worship. And so when I go to school, I'm smelling like my friends, you know, making all the nasty jokes, doing all the coarse language and all that. And going to church and just sometimes having an experience, a lot of times messing around. And then God began to work on my heart. And I was like, I don't want to do this thing halfway anymore. I want to go all in for God. And so I remember I was like, okay. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I wouldn't want to go to bed without eating. I'm not going to go to bed without reading the Word. So I start reading the Bible, and for about a week or two, I'm seeking God. And after about 2 weeks, I feel frustrated. I knew the promise of God. I actually hadn't read it myself yet, but I'd heard it in church, that if you come close to God, He's going to come close to you. And after about 2 weeks of trying to get closer to God, I didn't feel any closer. So I remember going to my parents, and I said, you guys, I don't know if I believe in God anymore. My mind went into turmoil, just went down the drain. If God's not true to His Word, then God is not real. And if God is not real, there's no real right or wrong. There's no purpose for life. It's just a bunch of rules made up by people. We're alive for a little bit, and we die, and that's it. And so I'm telling my parents, I don't know if I believe in God anymore. And they talk with me for a minute, and they pray over me. And actually, when they prayed over me, I start laughing. And they go, see, that's the joy of the Lord. And I said, it's not enough. I'm not just going to believe in something just because I grew up with it. I'm not going to believe in something just because I was taught it my whole life. And even at that point, I mean, when I was younger, I said, when I grow up, I want to be a ninja and ride a motorcycle all over the world and tell people about Jesus. And my whole life growing up, I was saying, I'm going to be a minister. And here I am questioning everything. And my dad told me about fasting. And so I said, okay, I'll try that. And he gave me a book, but I didn't read it. Sorry, Dad. I wasn't a big reader at the time. But I fasted for 3 days and just drank water, and I'm pressing into God. And then I began to experience Him like never before. And I'm able to stay consistent at this time because I'm staying in the Word. But I still did not have that expression of worship. And I remember we went to this one thing, I think it was called the Vertical Call, and there was this tent that was set up where people were worshiping. I think it was 24/7 for about 10 days. Do you remember that? Jason, I think it was the first time we saw Jason Upton over there and some people. And so the presence of God is there, and it's really strong. And I see people dancing in the front. And at this time, I'm not making fun of them, but I'm looking at them and always thinking, that's not for me. And then I feel the Holy Spirit say, why don't you dance, Caleb? And I was like, oh, why would you ask that? And so I'm like, I'm the one who made fun of all the dancers, right? I'm the one who was joking around, pointing at them. But I was like, God, You're worthy. So I got up and I started dancing. I wasn't even next to all the dancing people. Probably would have fit in a little better. I'm dancing over here off to the side. And then my sister looks over with some of my siblings and she goes, look, Caleb's dancing. And they're laughing. And I'm just like, I don't care, Jesus, You're worth it. And I just start to dance and to praise Him unreserved. Yeah. Unreserved. You know how it says that God loves a cheerful giver, that hysterical, we talked about it last time, how that's somebody who gives without reservation. Oh, that was giving some worship and praise without reservation.
Amen.
And then it just felt like from then on, the Lord would say, why don't you dance, Caleb, during worship? And I was like, ah, but I would just jump in, you know? And so I'm over here, the youth group would meet on the right side of the church that I was going to. And then here's Caleb dancing in the front. And I mean, I just continued to dance. When I went to Rhema, I was known as the dancing usher. I was just dancing and praising God because I felt like He wanted that from me. And it was just a stripping away of the pride. It was a stripping away of the fear of man. It was a stripping away, and it was giving God everything I had. But you know what? Something switched on the inside of me when I began to worship God without reservation. There was an intimacy and a closeness with Him that I had never experienced before.
Yes.
And it began to change my whole lifestyle. I thought, I don't want to go a moment without thinking about the Lord. This is when I was still in high school. So going to school, from class to class, I'm just praying in the Spirit. Sitting in class, making a melody in my heart to the Lord. I remember sitting in math class, and not my favorite subject, kind of boring for me. And I'm sitting there, and we had sung this song at a youth camp, and so I'm just singing it in my heart. You know, no one has ever loved me like the way You love me. Wrap Your arms around me. And I'm singing it quietly under my breath to myself, and I just feel the presence of God just rest on me. And I'm sitting there in math class, and everybody's looking like they're going to fall asleep. And I'm sitting there, I got this huge smile on my face. Just sitting there in math class, encountering the presence of God. Living full, walking from class to class, just praying in the Spirit. Asking, Lord, who do You want to minister to? God, my life is a sacrifice for You. I began to experience what it was like to live a life of worship. Where I wasn't just worshiping God on Sundays, and it wasn't just with songs. Those songs help to give Him the fruit of your lips, to give Him praise that He deserves. But living that lifestyle where you're laying it down. And so I want to talk with you guys about that today. Like, what happens inside of you when you begin to live this way with a lifestyle of worship? Where you're saying, you know what? Lord, You're worthy in the morning, as soon as I wake up. Throughout the day, Lord, Your will, not mine. In the evening, Jesus, thank You for today. When you're living a life where you're like, Lord, I am a living sacrifice. Not my will, but Your will. You are worthy. I'm going to keep a melody in my heart. I'm going to sing praises to my God throughout the day, throughout the week. Let's talk about what happens inside of you when you do that. It changes your whole perspective on life when you begin to live this lifestyle of worship. Like in Psalm 73, Asaph had a whole change of perspective. He said, it all changed when I came into the temple of God. When I came into His house, I understood. And so your perspective changes, because when you begin to live a lifestyle of worship where I am not my own, I don't belong to myself. I have been bought at a high price, and all I am, Jesus, belongs to You. When you live like that, you begin to have a revelation and understanding continually of God's goodness. You begin to see His goodness even in the hard times. You begin to see His goodness even when trials come your way. When life seems unfair, you start saying, God, I trust in Your goodness. I can see Your goodness through the storm. You begin to experience and to know God's power, and you recognize His love on a continual basis. You see, when you're living as a living sacrifice, God will send His fire on that sacrifice. And you can experience the presence and the goodness of God. It changes your perspective by it sets your mind on things above and not on earthly things. Colossians 3:2, it says, think about the things of heaven and not the things of the earth. And that can be hard if you're just trying to think about heavenly things. But when you're worshiping God, then your mind is set on things of the Spirit and not on things of this natural world. He switches your perspective, and it causes you to live differently from the people around you. You begin to get an eternal mindset. You see, people are living for the moment, or people are living for maybe just the next day. Some people have a long-term view and they're living for retirement. Or they might just live just for this lifetime. But when you have a heart of worship and you are seeking God, you begin to live for eternity. You begin to give your life for something so much greater than yourself. You give your life for something so much greater than your own legacy. You are living for the kingdom of God, which will never end, which will always grow. And it makes it so your decisions are made on different principles, right? Some people think, if I make this decision, it's going to affect me here in life or there in life, or it could affect my friendships right now. But when you understand I'm living for eternity, my decisions are going to be based on what pleases the Father. Amen. And I know that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That when I'm making decisions now, I'm thinking about how can this have an eternal impact for the glory of God? When I'm making these decisions with an eternal mindset, I trust God because all things are before Him. And He sees not only my good, but He sees the whole good of my family. He sees the good of my community, of everybody that I'm working with. And so when I'm making decisions, I'm doing it from a God perspective, where I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I'm not moved by what moves other people. Other people are shaken and they're moved when they start seeing things of this world shake. But when you're standing in the presence of God, you will not be shaken and you will not be moved. When Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on water. When you keep your eyes on God because you're living this lifestyle of worship, you will do the impossible. Doors will open for you that people can't even understand. You'll see God's blessing on your life, but also when hard times come, because they come to everyone, you will stand through them. You'll walk out without even the smell of smoke on you, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking out of the fire. When you live that lifestyle of God, I live for You and not for myself. You're worthy, Lord, that I trust in the Lord with all my heart, leaning not to my own understanding, but in all my ways, acknowledging Him and allowing Him to direct my path. When you live like that, there is a divine confidence that you have. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. What is the fear of the Lord? I heard John Bevere gave this definition, and I really like it. The fear of the Lord is to be terrified of being separated from Him. So I'm going to live in a way where I am close. I'm going to live in a way where I am fellowshipping with Him. And I don't want to do anything that gets in the way of that fellowship. I don't want to do anything that makes it so my ear becomes dull, that makes it so my heart becomes calloused. I want to live in sensitivity to His leading. I want to know the voice of my shepherd. I want to be led into all truth by His Spirit. So I'm going to keep my heart tender. And I'm going to live a life of sacrifice and worship to God. He changes your whole perspective on life. And you see that He is God and you are not. And that's actually a very important thing to have, an important mindset and frame of mind to have in your life. I'm not God. I'm not the God of my life. I don't just get to do what I want to do. For the men in here who are married, you don't just get to treat your wife the way you want to treat them and think that it's going to be okay. God said if you mistreat your wife, your prayers will be hindered. You are to lead and to love like Christ loved the church. We all answer to the judge. And God, speaking to Christians in the Word, says, judge yourself lest you be judged. But when you're living this lifestyle of worship, even when somebody's getting on your nerves or things are not going right or you said something over and over, you're going to submit yourself to God. And you're going to say the right thing. You're going to hold your tongue. You're not going to allow things to come out of your mouth that used to come out of your mouth before. You're not going to allow yourself to do things that you used to do before, because my life is worship to my God. So I restrain. I put the flesh under. Paul said, I buffet my body, not buffet, buffet. I keep it under. I'm not going to let this body do whatever it feels like doing. I'm not going to let these emotions reign and rule in my life. I'm submitted to God. He is God and I am not. So I will serve him with this life of worship. And as you do it, then your desires begin to change. Yeah. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will do what? He'll give you the desires of your heart. And I believe there's two aspects of this. He'll give you desires, and that things that you're wanting, he'll bring into your life. But I think maybe a more significant way of thinking about it is that he will actually put his desires inside of you. So you will have heavenly desires and godly desires. Delight yourself in him. Worship him and adore him and see him as he is. And he's going to fill you with heavenly desires.
Oh, that's good.
And the other desires, they're going to begin to fade away. They fall off in his presence because you're seeing it's not worth it. You know how God sees things? He doesn't see things now and then all of a sudden it grows into something. He's like, oh, I'm surprised. No. When he sees something, he sees the beginning and the end all at once. We don't serve a God who is bound by time and space. He's the one that created it all. He's most holy because he is far above it all. And so you know what he sees when he sees sin? He sees the end of it. Do you know what the end of sin is? Death. You know what he sees when he sees an addiction to pornography? He sees divorce. You know what he sees when he sees somebody who has fits of rage? He sees the death that it leads to and all the destruction. When he sees the greed and he sees how you just want and you're never satisfied and you need more and more of the things of this world, he sees how it destroys family, how it robs your life, how it distracts you from the things that really matter, and how you're selling the true treasures of the relationships that he has given you so you can have some stuff that's all going to burn. He sees the end of it all. And when you spend time with him, you begin to see the end of it. So you don't want to put up with it. I don't want that in my life. That is death. I don't want that pleasure for a moment. I see the end of it, and it is despair. It is destruction. It will ruin my life, and it will affect everyone around me. I hate sin.
Yeah, right. Come on. Yeah.
To fear the Lord is to hate sin.
Right.
That I love what he loves and I hate what he hates. And if you feel like there's a struggle in your heart right now, that you're wanting things that are not pleasing to God, that you're holding on to things that you know you should let go of, then put it on the altar.
Yeah.
This is worship to God. I'm going to let this burn. I'm going to give it to you, God. I don't want anything to hold me back. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles so I could run with perseverance the race marked out for me. I'm going to take these things and these desires that I know are contrary to God, and I'm going to say, no, I know what you lead to. I don't want that. God, I want everything that you have for me and nothing in addition to it. I want your plans. I want your purposes. I want your destiny. I want the people in my life that you want in my life. I want to pick the career path that you have for my life. God, I want the wife, the husband. I want the children. I want everything that you have for me. I don't want to insist on my own way. You are God, and I am not.
Amen.
Amen. And as you begin to live this life of worship, his heart will unfold to you. And your heart unfolds as well. As you're spending time in the presence of God, you're going to see more of him. But you're also going to see more of yourself as well. You're going to see, wow, look at that motive. I didn't know that was my motive. Look it. I wanted the right things for the wrong reasons. Wow, I didn't realize I was dealing with that pride there. Whoa, I didn't realize that this relationship was holding me back. Wow, I thought that this sin was okay because everybody's doing it. I didn't realize that I was wasting my life watching TV, watching reels. I didn't realize how much of my life I was wasting, and I was wasting time that I could have been spending with God and with people around me. God, I didn't realize how distracted I've been in life. Look at all the opportunities I'm missing out on because I just want to be entertained, because I just want to be comfortable, because I'm just living like everyone else. And his heart unfolds to you. God, you love me so much. God, you got a purpose and a plan for my life. Lord, you want to take me beyond my own ability to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God, you want me to do that. You see what he's calling you to. And it's so far beyond you. Beyond anything you could ever accomplish on your own. Yeah. And he's saying, this is what I have for you. These are the lives that can be touched through your life. If you'll let go of these other things and you'll cling to me, I will take you higher. And I will lead you farther. You'll be more alive than you have ever been. When you put to death the misdeeds of the flesh, you will become more alive to God. Yes. And you will see things from a heavenly perspective. And you'll see how beautiful and how wonderful and how glorious he is. And serving him will not be a chore. Serving him will be your whole satisfaction. And you'll say like Jesus, my food is to do the will of my Father. I delight to do your will, O God. Where you are satisfied in his presence. And you don't want the things of the world anymore because you see everything that it leads to. And you see God's heart for the people that were so frustrating to you. And you see God's heart towards the people you were prejudiced against. And you see God's heart towards the lost. And you see his heart towards the broken. And you begin to see this is the God who loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son.
Yes, that's right.
And then your heart begins to become like his.
Wow.
In Romans 8, it says that you have been predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. That your destiny is to become like Jesus.
Amen.
And it's going to take all this life and probably a lot more.
Yeah.
You never reach a point in this earthly existence where you're done. James chapter 1, keep it in mind because that's the rest of this life. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. I see this as a test and I'm going to pass it. I'm not going to stumble. I'm not ignorant of the enemy's ways. I recognize his strategies. I see the way he comes at me, and I'm not going to fall into it. I'm going to do all to stand and stand, therefore. And I'm going to take all the land and all the ground and every mountain and all the places that God is sending me to, because I'm not living for myself. I'm living for the praise of his glory, and so it must be great. I'm going to live for something so much greater than me. I'm living for him. Hallelujah. His heart unfolds to you and your heart unfolds to him. And this beautiful intimacy begins to take place. This intimacy that says, into me, see. And it is revealed more and more. And there are depths of God. You could never fully explore his depths, his goodness, his wonderful ways. Hallelujah. Paul talks about it at the end of Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his paths and his ways beyond tracing out. He's got this eternal plan in place. And it says that God confides in those who fear him. He will reveal to you his thoughts and his plans. He will reveal to you his heart.
Amen.
As you spend this life in worship to him. And God fills you up. God responds to your worship. As you're drawing close, he will draw close to you. And you will be you will live a life that despite life circumstances, you can live in the joy of the Lord. You could have a peace that passes understanding. You could be like Jesus sleeping on a pillow in the storm while everybody else is freaking out. You'll have a divine confidence about you, an assurity in your heart. You will be stable and steadfast and filled up with the comfort, with the love, with the power, with the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Decisions need to be made, and you just take a moment. I know the right one. I know the right way to go. I know what to do. I have insight because I'm connected to my God and my Father. His Spirit is leading and guiding me into all truth. I know the voice of my shepherd. Hallelujah. The Spirit of truth searches all things, even the deep things of God. And He reveals it to me. He takes from what belongs to Jesus and He makes it known to me. And I'm living as one with Him. And I am full of Him. And He is seen in me. The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen as one being taught. So how do we live this life that flows from worship? How do we live in this lifestyle where we are living like Jesus? 1 John says, anyone who claims to be in Him must walk as Jesus did. We already talked about it is our destiny to be conformed to the likeness of God's Son. And Jesus said this, the works that I'm doing, you will do also, and greater works than these because I go to the Father. So how do we live this life of worship? It's not overly complicated. When you wake up in the morning, Jesus first.
Amen.
Every day.
Good.
Jesus first. When I wake up in the morning, a lot of times I quote Psalms 18. I love you, O Lord, my strength. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Have a song in your heart through the day. You see, if you're listening to all this secular music, then that's going to be playing on the inside. And a lot of times it's not building you up. A lot of times it's not feeding you. A lot of times it's leading you the opposite direction. I hardly ever listen to secular music. Because I want to keep a melody in my heart to the Lord. I want to keep the melody going in here. I want to keep that lifestyle of worship. I want to be mindful of Him always. So have a song. And if one is not right there, if you start living this lifestyle, the music will keep going on the inside.
Right.
You'll have a melody in your heart almost all the time. Okay? But it might be hard to get it started. Just go on YouTube. Look up Elevation Worship, look up Upper Room, look up, I mean, you could just look up so many different kinds of Christian music, get it playing, get it in there, replace the other stuff, switch your playlist and start playing worship music and praise music that not just sings about God, that not just sings about what God has done, but songs that are singing to Him. Songs that are directed at Him, singing how glorious and wonderful and worthy He is. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Songs that are directed towards Him where you can join with it in your heart. And you could say, yes, Lord, You are worthy. Yes, You are holy. Thank You, God, for the way You love me. I worship and adore You, God Almighty. So keep the music going. So Jesus first every day. Keep the melody in your heart. And as the day goes on, this is the long part. This is the big chunk in the middle, right? Lay down your will for His. As you become more aware of Him, as that melody is going in your heart, you're living a lifestyle of worship, you're going to start being sensitive to the things that He likes and the things that He doesn't. And when you sense that, oh, He doesn't like that. Okay, Jesus, if You say no, I say no. If You say go, I say go. Jesus, when He walked the earth, He said He didn't do His own will. He said actually He could do nothing of Himself. But He said, what He sees the Father do, that's what He does. What He hears the Father say, that's what He says. And He wants us to live like that.
Amen.
So you're going to be going through life and you're going to recognize, hey, my will is in opposition to the will of God. I submit. I come underneath. This is a lifestyle to get into. Where instead of yielding to the things of the flesh, I'm going to yield to the things of the Spirit.
Good.
And when it's hard and when it hurts, say, Lord, that's worship to You. David said, I will not offer to God something that cost me nothing. I'm going to offer God worship that cost me something. It's going to cost me my own way. It's going to cost me my comfort sometimes. I'm going to give to God the first fruits of my increase. I'm going to take a portion of whatever finances I got. I'm going to give it to God in worship. I'm going to take a portion of my day. I'm going to give it to God in worship. I'm going to take my own will and I'm going to submit it to God in worship. Because I want Him. Because I want His presence. This is what Romans is talking about in Romans 12:1, where it says, offer your bodies to God, a living sacrifice. You're offering this physical body as a living sacrifice. And you know what God calls it? A spiritual act of worship. This offering this body, saying, I'm not going to do what this body wants to do. I'm going to submit it to God. God considers that spiritual worship. Jesus told the woman at the well, those are going to come to me. People are coming. A time is coming and now is that they will worship me in spirit and in truth. These are true worshipers that the Father is seeking. When you offer your body and your will to Him, that is a spiritual act of worship. This protects your heart from all that gunk that we talked about earlier. And then lastly, the way you end your day, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, for this day.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, that you gave it to me. Mm-hmm. Whether the day was your favorite day or not on the list, thank you, Jesus, for this day that you've given me. Thank you for the people that you brought into my life. Thank you, God. End your day with the heart of thanksgiving and gratitude and worship. This lifestyle of worship will lead into a life that flows from worship. And it will lead into places of intimacy. It will lead into places of influence. It will lead into fullness of life that Jesus came to give. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.